So we're going to kind of break that down and talk about what are the things that really bind us together and what's the heart that God's given us for our campus. So the only way we're like really going to be able to talk about all of those things is to do it in shorter amounts of time. So each of us for tonight will be sharing for 9 minutes each. And I've let folks know we're going to stay within that time frame just so we're not here all night. But we're touching on big subjects, so we will be available after. We're going to hang out downstairs, and we'll all be happy to talk with you about some of the things that we're touching on. Just for accountability's sake, though, is Joel here? Can you time us? If anybody goes over 9 minutes, can you just come tackle us? Do you feel comfortable with that? Okay, I'm motivated to stay under 9 minutes now. I don't want to mess with that. So let me say a prayer for us for the evening, and then I'll start us off. God, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for an opportunity for us to come together tonight and talk about you and explore this idea of who you are and what our faith means, and kind of bring some of our thoughts and questions to the table for discussion. And I thank you for that you're a God that wants to be known by us, and I just pray that you'll bless our conversations tonight, and I thank you that your presence is here with us, and that you love us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you know this, but we spend a lot of time praying and planning and preparing for the series that we teach at The Well, and so after all this time that I spend in prayer, kind of asking God, what do you have to say to the people that's relevant for our lives, and we take into consideration the different parts of Scripture so that we're talking about Old Testament and New Testament and getting exposure to some different parts of Scripture. And generally, at the end of all of those conversations, you will still find me saying, can't we just talk about Jesus? Can we just come here on Thursday night and talk about Jesus together? Because for me, Jesus changes everything. And I never used to be a person that talked like that. So when I was in high school, I had never gone to church in my life. I thought religious people were real weird. I just kind of avoided them because I didn't understand that world. And I thought, you know, I've gotten by so far in my life kind of on my own without some supreme deity. So I guess I'm doing okay. It's probably not necessary. I only went to my first Christian event, which was a Young Life club, because my best friend like played the best friend card. Like you do. He was like, I'm having this thing in my house. You're my best friend, so you're going to come. And I'm like, okay. Like, you don't dish those out very often in life, so when you do. And so I went to Young Life Club. They did a lot of fun things. They did skits and songs and things to kind of get my attention. But let me tell you, they didn't need to do that. Because what they also did at the end is they would read accounts from the Gospels in the Scripture about Jesus and what he was like. And they would just read the account and maybe talk a little bit about it, but it was mostly just looking at his life and the way he was with people. And that got my attention. Thinking back, it was just the way that he was with people, the way that he took the way people thought about how the world worked and he turned it upside down. The way he answered questions with ways of expanding your thinking. And to be honest, the most compelling thing to me was that he always seemed to be reaching out. He always seemed to be trying to reach out to people and invite them in. So I can't really explain this, but when they told me that my brokenness had separated me from God, I knew that was true. I just felt it. Like, it's like they put a name to this condition I knew was true for me. And when they told me that Jesus, being fully God and fully man, came to this planet, was killed and resurrected in order to conquer these powers of sin and death, I believed that. I knew that was true. So he really started to draw me in like gravity. And so I'm talking tonight about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And he really is worth all of the hype. Jesus is the center of everything, of all of human history. Everything before Jesus was leading up to Jesus. Everything since Jesus points back to Jesus or points to him coming again in fulfillment of all things. It's really all about Jesus. This is what Colossians 1 says about him. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Right? Doesn't that just kind of try to grasp the magnitude of who he is? The most interesting thing to me about this passage is that when it talks about all things in creation, that includes me. Like, I am a thing that's in creation. So when I can read it like this, I have been created through him and for him. He is before me, and in him I am held together. My life and the movement of the well have a center, and that center is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the person of Jesus Christ. The truth that we are saved by grace through faith in him and that we're made in right standing with God through him. Everything kind of comes back to that for us. So he changed everything for me, and now, like, I live life with him now. And this kind of life-changing love and truth kind of calls for a response from me. And so the question is, like, okay, what is our response to this way that Jesus is with us and who he is? Well, good news is somebody asked him in Scripture. They said, what's the most important thing? Basically, that's Mallory's paraphrase to a really awesome passage. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, love God. That's a little bit hard for me to grasp, because isn't God some, like, other hard-to-understand force in the universe? Well, obey God, worship God, serve God, those things make sense to me. But love God has been harder for me to grasp in my journey here. So when I think about the idea of loving, I think I am able to love a person to the extent that I know them, right? That's just true with, like, friends, with significance, whatever. The more I get to know a person, the more I'm able to love them. And so, again, we are all coming back to Jesus, because it's in Jesus that we can know God. Jesus makes God known to us. It says in the Colossians that he's the image of the invisible God. So he's taken this presence and put on skin so that we can understand what he's like. God became one of us so that we can know him and love him like a person, because that's how I know to love. I know how to love people because that's what I've learned on this planet. And so he's become a person so that we can love him and be known by him, right? Which is sometimes the more intimidating or challenging part of it. So living life with God for me has meant a lot of surrender. This is what supremacy of Christ means in my life. It means that my life isn't my own. I have to yield myself to another person. Good news is he loves me a lot, and he wants what's best for me. It's a safe place to yield. But it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Like, I'd prefer to live in this illusion of autonomy, and I am the queen of my own world and destiny and can do whatever I want. But that's not my life with God. So it won't take much time for you of being around the movements of the well to realize that we don't really think that being a Christian is about a checklist of things we believe, and we don't really think it's about a list of behaviors that you should do and avoid necessarily. Those things in and of themselves aren't really what it's about. But it is about being in relationship with the living God. So Jesus, right, is not a belief checklist. He's not a distant concept. He is a person who shapes my identity, my decision-making, my relationships, my purpose on a day-to-day basis. So my question that I'm going to leave us with tonight, with this idea of the supremacy of Christ, is, who is Jesus for you? What have your interactions with him looked like? And what does it look like for you to position yourself to know him a little bit better, because I guarantee that he will draw you in with his goodness. Let me say a quick blessing, and then we'll hear from Sadie. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the way you've revealed yourself to me over time, and I thank you that you meet each of us where we're at, and that you meet us in unique and personal ways. So we just want to know you better, and I thank you for the opportunity to do that. In your name, amen. Sadie.
Hello. They keep giving me microphones. I'm not really sure. So I'm not in the mood to get tackled, so Joel, hopefully I don't go over 9 minutes. Like Mallory said, my name's Sadie. I'm the intern here, so I'm a senior. And I'm going to be sharing with you pretty briefly about the second value, which we call perfection of Scripture. So here at the Well, we have a motto that states, and I'll read it for you verbatim. It says, "The Well is a ministry on the campus of Ashland University that seeks to encounter the presence, power, and love of Jesus Christ, experience the joy of incarnational community, and respond to God for all that he is and all that he does through blessing others." Whoa. Well, that was fun. So, I usually sing right here, so this is awkward. So I read to you what the statement of the well is. That's a thing. But where I think the perfection of Scripture comes in is the first word that started with an E, which is encounter. So I think that we first and foremost encounter God in his word. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 reads, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So we encounter God in three different ways: the Word, and the Word. So maybe you think I'm being clever and just telling you that it's all about the word, but yes, but it's also more than that. So we have access to the written word, which is the Bible, which for just the sake of this, I'll be referring to as Scripture. So we have access to that, but Scripture also tells us in the Gospel of John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that's talking about Jesus. That's the person that we hold supreme. That's the person that Mallory just talked all about. And so he's the incarnation, and another word for that is embodiment of the Word of God. So the text of God becomes a man, which is really cool and miraculous and divine. But he's also superhuman, not superhuman. He's 100% human, 100% divine. So then the third word is the living word inside all of us. And that's what we refer to as the Holy Spirit. So the being of the Trinity that was sent as a helper and as an advocate after Jesus left the earth, that's the word that lives inside each one of us, as well as inside the church as a whole. So we have a very real access to this word if what I claim is true, that he's living inside of us and living inside of the church, which really makes Scripture come alive. So it's important that we put the word, and the word all together so that we use Scripture, the life of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as the lens that we see everything through. So we have to read the text with the Spirit in order to fully understand what's going on. We are relying on new revelations from the Holy Spirit in order to be fully on board with what God's doing. So we believe that the word is alive and it's still speaking to us, that there are revelations that have new things to say to our community right now. And so what I want to get across tonight is that the Bible is not just a book that we read for the act of memorization or cool Bible trivia or to recount all the stories and the parables that are given in it. That's impressive, and I couldn't beat you in that test. But if you're not letting those stories transform your life right now, that knowledge is useless. And you might think that that's a pretty bold claim, but I'm going to stick to that one. So the difficult part about Scripture isn't the understanding part, because I can guarantee that if I gave you unlimited amounts of time, set a Bible in front of you, and all the study materials you need, you would understand what's happening. But the tricky part that we have to be on board with is obedience. So we're rendered useless when our knowledge or understanding isn't followed by obedience. Our approach to Scripture should be twofold and ask these two questions. So what was the context of the story in history, and what did it mean to those people that were actually experiencing that thing in history that we read about? And we should be asking, Lord, what are you trying to show me through your word right now? And there's a reason that Maddie touched on this in her testimony, and she essentially said all these things in 45 seconds, but there's a reason that we read the stories of Jesus and we continually learn new things about them. Every time we approach the text, something new pops out to me. And so, for example, the story of Peter walking on water with Jesus has taught me to keep my eyes fixated on Christ when the waves get out of control, when my life feels crazy, because that's what the second I start to look to the right or to the left is when I start to sink. So my eyes fixated on Jesus is the important part. The other thing that I've learned is that we are called to such courageous trust when Jesus commands us to come. After he says come, we have to have courage and trust that what he has is good for us. And I can tell you that I learned those two things at very separate times. There were probably many months, maybe years, between those two things that I've learned. But it's not because I'm skimming and not catching it the first time. It's not because I'm not looking for the wholeness the first time I read the story. I'm not dumb for not catching the second lesson sooner than I caught the first. This difference in what I picked out stems from the fact that God was speaking different things to me at different points in my life. And so that shows me that the word is living and concerned about me as well as concerned about the church. So if the Bible's speaking to us as individuals, I can guarantee that the things that the Lord is saying to us as individuals has a lot to do with the community that we're in and has a lot to say for our community. So we can look to Scripture and see an overwhelming story of God continually creating and redeeming a people for himself. And we can see that today. We can look into history and see the ways that the Lord's been working in our lives. You can look at church history and see the trajectory of that. And I can stand here right now and tell you that there are things that the Lord's doing in my life that won't come into fruition until the future. So my hope is that this conversation about Scripture right now will spark some curiosity in you about what the Word of God has to say to you, to your community, to your church, and to the people of God as a whole, because he uses us as individuals to speak to groups. My hope is that you'll be able to see the confirmations in Scripture that the Lord is good, that he's faithful, and that he provides for us, that he's trustworthy, and he is so, so gracious. He's patient. My hope is that you and myself will approach Scripture with both reverence and curiosity, that we can have that respect for the text, but that we don't limit ourselves to not asking questions, because I'm pretty sure that the Lord wants us to ask those questions so that we can understand and obey what he has for us. That we seek out the meat of what God is saying to his people, and that we would wrestle with the hard truths and confusion, knowing full well that God will reveal himself through the word that is Scripture, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So as long as we keep those three in focus, when we keep our eyes fixated on Christ and we use the Holy Spirit to be our guide through the text, it's not so hard. and he reveals truths to us that come alive in those moments. It doesn't seem like a history book anymore, but it's a real living thing because you're a real living thing, and you get to experience the truth that the Lord wants to convey in your life. So that's what I have to use for you tonight on Perfection of Scripture, and I'll invite my friend Peter up, and he can talk about community.
What's up, guys? Hey. Theirs were really nicely straight, and this is what I have. Don't worry, there's truth in there somewhere. God told me. Okay, this is an interesting space. Good job using this. Not used to this stage. All right, so yeah, I'm talking about transformational community with you guys tonight. So we're talking about well values. So if you didn't pick up on that, it's what the well values. It's pretty straightforward. And okay, transformational community, another two-word thing. So we're going to explore what that means, but we're going to mix it up. We're going to look at the word community first, even though it's the second word, but I think you guys can keep up. Okay. To do that, I have the definition. Let's read it. A group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. An example, the Rhode Island Japanese community. I didn't come up with that. That's from Webster's. And apparently, there's a great amount of Japanese people living in Rhode Island. So now you know. Okay, so the two things to focus on. It's a place. There's characteristics in common, okay? So let's do that for Ashland. Our place, guess. Ashland, good. Okay, so there's a place and it's Ashland and there's characteristics. And these characteristics I'm gonna list off are things that we sort of hope are characteristics and we're aiming at. We're not doing it perfectly, but this is what we wanna be about. And I'll read off like just some that came to mind for me. Our characteristic is that we possess radical love for Jesus and each other. Are also in relationship with the Lord, and we live our lives along with him, becoming more and more like him as we do that. Thirdly, we are joyous recipients of grace, and what that means is we live into the freedom that that provides. So those are some of our characteristics. And then also, I think that we can all say that we love rock climbing and hunting and flannel and coffee and Manchester Orchestra and beards. Right? Okay. No, but seriously, keep in mind, place is Ashland, and our characteristics are hopefully love and grace and freedom and relationship and facial hair. Okay. So you got that? That's our second word. So now we're going to go back to the first word, and I have the definition for that as well. Okay, well, I'll just tell you this. Transformational is an adjective, obviously, describing community with the base form, transform. So that's what this definition is. There are three. The first one says to change in composition or structure. The second is to change the outward form or appearance of. And the third, which I thought was most pertinent, is to change in character or condition. You know, because we talked about, you know, a community having certain characteristics. So this is changing those characteristics or that character or condition. And the interesting thing about this definition is that I think it's inherent in the word community. If you think about community, it changes people, and you can't separate those two things. We put the word transformation in there because it's important, but I'm going to try to get you to realize that community itself will change people, and I'm going to tell you two stories to do that. The first story, I want to take you back to a place. It's fifth grade. We're on a playground, okay? Kids are screaming. We're in a hick town, so a lot of people sound like this, and this place is called Zanesville, and what there is, there's an eagle's nest, okay? You're familiar with the word, but it's like this big dome thing. Have you seen these on playgrounds? Like a big skeleton dome? And myself and 12 other small men, boys, are perched upon it, okay? We're up here. And two people, we let fate decide, drop down, and then it's on, because we battle, okay? And we wrestle, and you win or you lose, and then you get out of the eagle's nest. Do you think anyone without the other people would engage in such activity? Do you think two dudes would just walk out there and be like, you want to go wrestle in that thing? No, but because everybody's doing it, you're totally down. And for those of you who know me, it might have been my idea. I don't know. Okay, the second story is better, hopefully. The setting is here. It's Ashland. I'm a freshman. I'm coming in. And, you know, I left my family to come here. So things are new. Things are different. And this is about the community of upperclassmen men that I encountered when I got here. Some of them are here tonight. Corey Smith, what's up, my man? Spence Stilzel, what's up, you? Hopefully I'm not missing any, but anyway, what happened here is these guys came around me and they said, hey, let me show you how to live your life as a Christian young man in a campus environment, in an environment where you're no longer under the reign of your parents and where you're doing this whole following Jesus Christ thing on your own. They showed me how to facilitate community, how to be a man of God. They showed me a lot of things. And it wasn't even like they said things a lot of times. I was just around them, and it seemed to absorb into me. And I hope that I can be like those guys in some ways, and I think I am in some ways. And it's because I just got around them. Rather, they got around me, and they transformed me. So I hope from those two stories that we can agree that community will transform you no matter what. So if that's true, the reason we put transformation in front of there is because it's important, and we want to do it intentionally. If we're going to transform each other, we want to do that really well. And the Bible tells us that we should do that. Mallory, I think, used this verse earlier. We're commanded to love thy neighbor as thyself. That love, you know, makes the transformation good, you know, instead of bad. And we're also told that people are supposed to know us by how we love each other. And I think that's John 13:35. Do we have that? Yeah. It says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So we have this thing where community is going to change us, and we're told we need to love each other so we change each other well. And we're told that people are going to look inside and see, oh, they love each other well. That's how we know. That's how we know that they're the disciples of the Lord. So this is kind of a tall order, right? Like, you're told to do this thing, but it's kind of a big thing. But I think there's a lot of hope here because there's a solution. And to prove that to you, I'm going to talk about another aspect of community, which is the fact that there's often an impact player in community. And I'll try to get you to understand what I'm talking about when I say this. It's that guy or that gal in the group of friends that you have that is kind of always setting the tone. And you kind of always know that if you were to come to a crossroads with your buddies or with your family, and it'd be like right or left, that one person would go this way. And kind of without thinking, others would follow suit because they trust that person. Another example might be a coach. You often hear about coaches, or you watch a movie where you see a coach not only transform the way the guys or the girls play ball, but they can transform a community or the way that they see life because there's those impact players that can really transform community. And the hope that we have is our impact player is Jesus Christ. And I hope you got the importance of that when you heard Mallory talk. This guy is perfect. He'll love you better than anyone ever could. He will show you how to love everyone else better than you ever could. And to prove it to you, I'm going to reference scripture like Sadie did. And look at John 13:34, which comes right before where he says that we'll be known by how we love each other. He says, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. He tells us, hey, look at how I love you, and then do that to each other, and then people are going to look in and be like, oh, they know Jesus. So that's the hope that we have. We can spend time along Jesus, we can walk with him, we can look at his example, and then we can walk that out in our own lives, and we can be impact players here on the ground for people who maybe haven't gotten to Jesus yet. You know, people who are struggling to connect to them can find him, find his face in you, okay? Joel's giving me 9 minutes, okay. So, here's what I want to offer you tonight. If you're in a situation where you find yourself in community, which I know you are, choose to be an impact player. Find Jesus, let him transform you so that you can transform those around you. You have that ability, and you're already transforming those people whether you like it or not. So I just invite you to step into the adventure that is doing it well, doing it in a way that can transform them to amazing new heights. But I also want to offer up that if you're struggling and you're like, I don't know if I can do that right now, and you just need some people to come around you, that's available. So find some people downstairs. I'm downstairs later, and talk to me. And there's going to be some people in the back to pray with you about that, like if you need some people to come into your life and help you, or if you want to transform some others. So they'll be available to pray for anything that Mallory said and anything that Sadie said as well. And I'm going to close in prayer now. Father, you're so good, and the way our relationship works is confusing to me sometimes because it seems like something I so don't deserve. You've given us Jesus, this amazing gift, and you've given us the Word, and you've given us this amazing community to exist in, Lord, and I'm just so thankful for that. I pray that you could allow the importance of those things to sink into our lives, and that we can embrace them all fully. We could draw closer to you, live more fully into things that you can offer us, a life with love and joy and peace, forbearance and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all the good things you offer, Lord. Pray that you would just change these people. We love you so much. Amen.
Amen. Before we get back into worship, did anybody notice a theme tonight through all the three? It's a really easy answer. Jesus. He's a really cool guy, isn't he? Awesome. We're going to sing some songs that are about Jesus, and that's what worship is. But the first song we're going to sing is called How Deep the Father's Love, and it's one of my favorites. And I had just one comment I wanted to say about it real quick. There's two lines in this song. One is, I actually don't remember. Pull up the second verse right now, could you? Second line of the second verse. Can you do that? Or not? Can you pull up the second line of the second verse? That's all right. Something about, because of him dying, we have new life, right? And then there's the line in the last verse that his wounds have paid my ransom, right? And I think this question has come up. Sadie, you're in the atonement class, right? Right now.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that's good. But we have this question of, like, why did Jesus have to die, right? And I'm going to give you my answer for this. I don't know what you're talking about in your class. But sometimes we talk about this whole cosmic event thing that happened on the cross and, like, all of the logical reasons why Jesus had to die so that we could be saved. But my answer to that question is,